We are turning to the first book in the New Testament and looking at some of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we face the end of this year and the beginning of the new year. Matthew chapter 4. We are going to begin our reading with the first verse of Matthew chapter 4. Our Savior had just received that recognition from heaven at his baptism. And the Father said, "This is my Son. I love him. This is my beloved son. I love him. This is the one." And what a wonderful thing. And yet, right immediately after that wonderful experience, the Lord Jesus Christ is compelled by the Spirit into the wilderness. Let us consider God's word in Matthew 4, verse 1. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered." Don't you love the Word of God? The absolute simplicity of it. It's just that, you know, some of us had an involuntary fast cast upon us in recent days. And our Lord fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And it's so obvious that he was ravenously hungry. Verse 3, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.'" What a liar. I mean, the Father had just said, just pronounced, "This is my Son." And who does Satan think he is? Verse 4, it's our Lord Jesus. "But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.'" What an answer. "Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God.'" Once again, that is exactly how the evil one will deal at some point with every child of God. "You're not really a Christian." No. Forget it. "You just sin." It's what he does to us. Because we did sin. And so immediately there's a questioning of our sonship and our relationship with the Lord. Well, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." What was he trying to do? He had tempted the Lord to see, because his appetite for food was so desperate. And yet, he would not give in to that temptation. Now, if you're the Son of God, show everybody. Jump off and let them watch, because somebody's looking at the temple. And they'll see you and they'll see how great you are. No. Jesus said, "We're going to do this God's way. Don't tempt the Lord thy God." Verse 8, "Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, 'All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me.' Then saith Jesus unto him, 'Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, In him only shalt thou serve. Look at all the kingdoms of the world. All you got to do is bow down to me. And you know, the temptation comes to us. If we'll only bow down, we'll have all these things. No, we are only to bow down to one. We are only to worship one. And I trust that in the message today, the Lord will help us to see how easy it is to worship any and every other thing but the living God. Verse 11, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. That's a very short verse. We'll be back to verse 11 because that is so full of God's goodness. So we're going to end our reading there. And we trust that the Lord will speak to our hearts today from his word for Jesus' sake. We are taking one verse that Jesus quoted from the book of Deuteronomy. Verse 4. Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You notice that is on your calendar for the new year. I trust that the Lord will, by his Spirit, so breathe this word into our lives that it would be an awesome impetus in going forward for Christ in this new year and with him. A martyr of our Lord Jesus Christ was condemned to die. But the wicked judge was not at all satisfied that simply the day had been set for the martyr to be burned. So he said in a very mocking and cruel manner, while you're awaiting your execution day, I make no allowance for food to be given to you. What can your God do for you now? How can he feed you? Why, the prisoner said, if he wills, he can feed me from your very table. And that is exactly what God did. Unknown to that cruel judge, his wife's heart had been touched with sympathy for that poor believer. And she secretly sent abundant food to that prisoner every day till the day that he was burned at the stake. So God tells us, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us, what the Spirit of God said in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. He quotes from that passage right here in Matthew chapter 4 verse 4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, what was our Lord Jesus Christ saying in this? I want us to see, first of all, that God is the one by whose will alone we live. It is only by God's will that we live at all. Man shall not live by bread alone. And if we have bread, that doesn't mean we live. Our Lord Jesus Christ was perfectly aware of what the enemy was trying to do to him. That snake in the grass, in that temptation, he could see what Satan was trying to do so that he was defeating the wicked one. But I have to say that so often what he was trying to do to Jesus, he so successfully carries out in our experience. The wicked one often tempts us just to live without reference to Almighty God. The evil one tempts us often just to live without any reference at all to Almighty God. To live independently. To live your own life. Just live your life and don't worry about God. He's busy anyway. Well, Christ saw through all of that subtlety of this satanic trick. Jesus was in the wilderness. Jesus was very hungry, but he refused to do this. He refused to do what Israel did in the same situation. If you remember back in Deuteronomy chapter 8, the Lord was making reference to what the children of Israel had experienced in their hunger in the wilderness. And you know, here in this first book in the New Testament, Christ is demonstrating as our covenant head, the covenant head of all of His people, that He would succeed for us. That He would succeed for us where Adam had failed in Eden and where Israel had failed in the wilderness. Christ did not fail. Christ had been in a wilderness and Israel had been in that wilderness when they were hungry, and rather than trust the Lord, what did they do? They didn't wait for Him. They sinned, even with their lips, first of all. They said, the whole assembly will be killed with hunger. And they said, is God with us or is He not? And they did so many evil things against the Lord. Well, what did God do? God sent them manna. And He sent them manna for 40 years. He did the miracle rather than letting them starve. So what did Christ do? Christ was not asking for a miracle. Christ could say with Job, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Though I starve, I'm still going to trust Him. I'm not going to do this Satan's way. I'm not going to assert myself against the sovereign will of my Father. A father has his way. He will do it in his time, and I will wait for Him. And this is most amazing. Look at verse 11 now. You see verse 11? Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. That is the most beautiful word, ministered. Diakoneo came and acted out the deacon. And what did the deacons do in the New Testament but serve tables? And here come the angels serving tables to Jesus, bringing Him the best that there was to eat. Amen. After that. How amazing. Waiting God's time. As Bunyan's two characters in Pilgrim's Progress, the two little children, one of us got to have it now. In other words, I'll wait for the best later. Okay, Christ was doing all that He did that day, as always, for the glory of the Father, but not only for the glory of the Father, for the good of His blood-bought people. Although Adam had failed, Christ demonstrated His own perfect righteousness. He wrought out an absolutely spotless obedience for us in order to give it to us by imputation to all of His believing people. So that by the obedience of the one. I love that article in the Greek. It's not given to us in our English version. Romans 5 and 19. For by the obedience of the one shall many be made righteous or constituted righteous or rendered or regarded as righteous by the obedience of the one. Hallelujah. He is the one. His perfect life, His merit, His full obedience are put on the believing sinner's account. And He was working it out that very day in the wilderness. Not just there, but every day that He lived. Romans 5, 8 and 9. We are saved by His death. We are justified by His blood. But we're also saved by His life. By His perfect submission to the Father's commandments. And He did it. Absolutely perfectly. We are facing a new year tomorrow, God willing. And especially on this day, we need to begin thinking God's thoughts rather than our own thoughts. I would say that generally when we are accosted with a temptation, we usually think our own thoughts. And that's not useful. Our Lord Jesus Christ on many occasions showed us how to be victorious, how to think God's thoughts rather than following our own way. Let's look back at Deuteronomy chapter 8 for a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 8, and I have been writing the book of Deuteronomy in the year 2017, and I'm hoping to finish it in the year 2018. But look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, because I like you to keep commandments. No. Why? God says that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. In other words, I would have you to obey these commandments because it will be for your good. It will be for your prosperity. It will be for your blessing. It will be for your life. Okay. Now, the Lord promised good success to those that obey His word. He said in verse 2, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness." Look back and remember. Remember how God has cared for you. And then he comes down to the verse that Jesus quotes. Verse 3, "And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." He was feeding his people unnaturally, even supernaturally, with manna. And look at verse 4. He reversed the second law of thermodynamics. The Lord completely reversed the second law of thermodynamics in regard to what the children of Israel were wearing. Verse 4, "Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years." Even their clothing, their shoes would not wear out. There was absolutely no deterioration during those 40 years. But you know, even with all of the Lord's goodness, we are so prone to trust in our own doing. We are so prone to trust in our own scheming rather than simply trusting in Him and obeying Him. Look at verse 5. "Thou shalt also consider in thine heart." This is what He's asking us to do in this passage, to think about this. Verse 6, "Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways and to fear Him." Look at verse 11. "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, not keeping His commandments and His judgments." I would dare say that every time we go astray, it's because we forgot. We forgot the Lord. And we forgot the commitment that we made to the Lord. Even in those times, "Lord, if you get me through this, I promise it." You ever done one of those? "Lord, if you..." I was just praying the other day. My son Joshua, he brought me some apple juice. I could barely lift a cup to my lips. And I just moistened my lips because I was afraid that if I did any more than moisten my lips, and the guy that couldn't even lift the cup surely couldn't get out of bed again. And I prayed, "Oh Lord, just help me." And you know, and it's when you get in situations like that and you start making promises to God, but what happens when we get in the place of temptation, we forget. Verse 11, "Beware that thou not forget." Verse 12, "Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and the silver and the gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget." the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So easy to forget. Look down at verse 17. And thou say in thine heart, my power and might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. I've done this. Yeah, look at what I did. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be that if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. And as the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Remember him. We tend to think that if we'll be okay because there's food in the pantry. We're all right because there's money in the bank. And we've got money laid aside for our retirement. But Christ said, remember Jesus. He said, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesseth. Now, the real problem with these things, when we think that we've got it made because of this and that, is because of making them to be your God and your trust, rather than trusting in the Lord. He warned the children of Israel. He said, when you get in this land and you got beautiful gardens and you've got everything just like you want it, the tendency will always be to forget the Lord. There is our danger on a daily basis of forgetting the Lord. Now, okay. All right. Now, bread. Man shall not live by bread alone. You know, bread will not even nourish and sustain the body unless God blesses that bread. There were so many of us that were well nourished the other day. That bread didn't do us any good. Haggai 1:6, ye eat, ye have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled. Micah 6:14, thou shalt eat, but not be satisfied. Let us understand, man shall not live by bread alone. Whether we like it or not, our very existence is totally dependent on Almighty God. Unless he blesses our bread, unless he blesses our health, we shall not live. Man shall not live by bread alone. Acts 17, verse 28. In him we live and move and have our being. Our very breath is in his hand. Daniel chapter 5, verse 23. He's the one that holds our very breath in his hand. He can do one of two things. He can either sustain that breath and keep us breathing, or he can cut that breath off. Just like that. Man shall not live by bread alone. Should we not then totally submit our very thinking and all of our living to the Lord in 2018? Because we are so absolutely, totally dependent on the infinite God. Secondly, not only do we live only by God's will, Christ is saying that every event in our lives proceeds from the sovereignty of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Well, we have several Greek students here, and they know that normally when you see the English term W-O-R-D, the Greek term is logos. It is not at all the case here. This is a completely different Greek word. It is rhema. It would be in English R-H-E-M-A. And rhema has to do with events. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every event that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I'm going to prove that to you now. Let's look at God's Word in Luke chapter 2, verse 15. You know, the shepherds had been shocked by the sudden light. They had been shocked by the singing, the announcement of the Savior being born that very day, being wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. And the shepherds said in Luke 2:15, "Let us go now and see this thing, this rhema, this event that's now underway." And when they came and they saw, they went and they declared the things, the rhema, what God, the events that God had told them regarding. Luke 2:19, "But Mary, upon hearing all that the shepherds had experienced there in the field and what had happened, what they'd been told, and she took all these things and she threw them around in her heart." She pondered them, these things, these events that they talked about. Let me give you a plainer one even yet. In Acts chapter 5, verse 32, the apostles told the Jewish leaders, "We are witnesses of these things." What? What they've been talking about? The way that these wicked Jewish leaders had illegally taken Christ into custody. The way they had tortured Him and slapped Him and spit on Him and then hung on a cross. Crucified. And yet God had raised Him from the dead. They said, "We are witnesses of all these events." So not only do we not live by bread alone, that our very existence is totally dependent on the will of God. Amen. Every event in our lives proceeds out of the mouth of God's sovereign decree. Now, so Christ would have us understand that every single event is pronounced through the mouth of Almighty God. So based on these facts, how are we to live in 2018? Since our existence is only by Him and every event proceeds from His decree, we ought to yield ourselves totally to Him. 2017, so many memorable deaths. When will ours come? Hadn't we better spend all of 2018 living unto Him? We must respond and live as Christ did in this very situation. How did our Lord Jesus show us to live? First thing in the verse, He said, "It is written." That was the first thing Jesus said to the wicked one. "It is written." He went directly to the written word of God in every circumstance and in every situation, in every temptation of His life. This means, therefore, that we are to do the same. It is absolutely essential that we have the daily reading and studying of God's word. Because we can only apply the Scriptures if we know the Scriptures. We can only apply the Scriptures to our situation, to our circumstances, if we are in the Scriptures, if we are knowing the Scriptures, if we are reading and studying God's Word. And this points out one of the most serious errors of Romanism for centuries, who would not allow the lay people to have any access to the Holy Scriptures. Well, our Savior says in Matthew 4:4, He was revealing, as He often did, the spiritual nature and the spiritual value of the Old Testament. The children of Israel were in that wilderness in the midst of a spiritual struggle. Therefore, we should learn from them for our own spiritual struggles. Paul, by holy inspiration, said that very thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, he says, these things were our examples. They were written for our admonition. Now, that's a nice word, admonition. You probably don't say that every day, but it means this, to put in the mind as a constant caution. These things are written for our admonition, to put in the mind as a constant caution. In the matter of the manna, they absolutely had to forget how they had lived before. There comes a point where we just need to forget the past. We need to go forward in God's way. They had lived a whole different way in the land of Egypt. They had plenty of the wonderful fruits of the land that were supplied by the blessing of the Nile River. But now they're in a desert. And how will the Lord supply for them? In a totally different way. They had to daily gather the manna, the nourishment that they would need to get them through the day. They had to personally go out and pick it up. That reminded me of when I was a child. My daddy would come in with those big baskets from the field, purple hull peas and Crowder peas and all those things. We got to shell all those things. Oh, that was awful. We had to work for our food. And what's the Lord saying? There was a tedious personal involvement every day. But that's not all. It had to be early in the morning. If you waited till the sun got out and hot, all the food was gone. Oh! Well, you snooze, you lose. They had to get it early in the morning. And I would dare say, I don't know about you, but I can tell you about this point in my life, if I don't get things done early in the morning, I won't get anything done the rest of the day. That's just the way my biological daily clock works for some reason. It's got to be done early in the morning. They couldn't hoard it. They had to gather it every day. 6 days a week, they gathered it. On the sixth day, they gathered enough for 2 days so they'd have something to eat on the holy day. You say, hey, old buddy, I don't like that. I want easy Christianity, something that doesn't cost me so much. Well, tell that to the martyr that we started with today. I want Christianity that doesn't cost me so much. One day at a time. In 2018, let us go deeper and let us seek to walk with the Lord moment by moment. Because the one who gives us our daily bread is the great miracle-working Jehovah. And this is life eternal. Knowing the only true God and Jesus Christ that He has sent. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Let us remember, so easy to forget, we live only by His sovereign will. Every event in our life comes from His almighty decree. Wow. I never had any idea that's what Jesus was saying there. Let us pray together. Let us all pray. O God, our loving Father in heaven, we thank Thee that Thou hast not left us to ourselves, to go our own way, to perish without that divine guidance of our Savior. O God, we pray that Thou will cause these truths that are indeed self-evident truths, truths that are revealed in the Word of God, truths that were spoken from the very mouth of God in our flesh. Oh Lord, we pray that Thou wilt bless us in the remainder of 2017. And Lord, help us to make good provision for living for Christ in the coming year in the will of God. And now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.